You know, there are two things, two natural foods that you can eat that actually avoid memory loss. Yeah, it's true. Those two foods are, I can't remember.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
What?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I think it's carrots. I think it begins with a C or a W.
Whatever.
Can't remember what...
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Wow.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I hope I will entertain you today like some type of a puppet, like I am your puppet, like you can shove a stick right up that thing and I'll do anything you want. No, not really, because you're not paying for this, all right? You, as an individual listener, are not paying squat, so have a little respect, huh? Anyway, welcome to the program. Got a great guest coming up. Barbara Grufferman is going to join us. Barbara Hannah Grufferman. She's got three names. I respect people with three names, I guarantee you. I just have the two thing. It's Ron Van Dam. A lot of people think my middle name is Van and my last name is Dam. Whatever you want, whatever. But people with three parts to their names, I kind of think, yeah, you should be like a count or a countess or something like that. That's very like, or you're dubbable for knighthood if you have three names, or you can be an author. I think it's fantastic. I love it. Anyway, she's got three names, and she's written a book called Love Your Age. I interviewed her about 3 months ago, and she talked about, you know, when you're over 40, celebrate, man. It's a wonderful time of life. And I thought, Barbara, I like you. I like you a lot. You're making me feel good, and you're making a lot of people feel good. So we're talking to her again, but on a different subject matter. This is a new conversation we'll be having a little bit later on. She's become a friend of the program, and nothing sexual going on. She's just a friend of the program. What are you trying to say? That's coming up a little bit later in the show today. But right now, that's not coming up. When I was young, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell a when I was young story. Oh! I know, sit back. This is going to be really fantastic. As a matter of fact, This is a funny story.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
That's enough. I have memories of my childhood. Not many, because I smoked a little pot in college, and that kind of ruined everything I remember from my childhood. But by the way, recreational marijuana? Sure, whatever. I got to tell you something, man. Marijuana causes memory loss. And I'll tell you, you get a little bit older in life, and... You'll see. It could also happen very, very quickly. You can get like high and say, oh man, I want some cookies, man. Did I just have cookies? I can't even remember. You'll see. You think you got problems now trying to find the keys to your car? Well, just wait till you do the recreational marijuana. Yeah, you'll see. Not only will you lose your keys, you'll lose your fob. Sorry, I had to update the item in today's society. People don't have keys anymore. I know, they have fobs and things. When I was a kid, but one of my fondest memories was my mother. I do remember her. There's more to the sentence. Just hold on. There's more to the sentence. There was no period there. It was a comma. One of my fondest memories was my mother taking me to dancing school. Yes, I went to dancing school. I think my mother thought that I was socially awkward at a young age. And I'm not arguing that point with her because I'm socially awkward even now. But I don't go to dancing school to solve it. She sent me to dancing school. There was a Knights of Columbus building about a mile away from our house. We were brought up in Teaneck, New Jersey, a lovely little suburb of New York. And I guess I was socially awkward. My mother says that I was born in a three-piece suit. I don't know what that meant. But I guess I was always, like, I think I was born in my 40s, something like that. I came out of the womb and wanted to immediately invest. I don't know what it was. I was never a child. When I was young, I would watch other kids play in the neighborhood, and I would actually open up the window from my bedroom and say, hey, you kids, get off my lawn and shut up, man. You're making too much noise. This was like at 3 years old I was doing this. I don't know what was wrong with me. Anyway, my mother thought I was socially awkward. Well, there's some examples. So she sent me to dancing school. I was young, probably about 10 years old. And my mother dressed me up in this dark colored jacket, dark colored pants, a white shirt, and a bow tie. And even at that age, I felt like a schmuck. And I didn't want to go to dancing school, but my mother said, look, you're socially awkward. I said, oh, all right, fine then. I didn't know I was socially awkward. Thanks for labeling me. And then she bought me, oh man, and I'm embarrassed to say this, she bought white gloves. And I had to put on white gloves to go to dancing school. Now, these days, nobody wears white gloves unless you are working in a very high society class restaurant. Why would a man wear white gloves? Well, back then, back in 1723, I guess young boys weren't supposed to touch young women. That was considered to be wrong. Now, of course, whatever. Now it's just sexual assault. You know, it's not a big thing. But back then, little boys never touched little girls unless they had gloves on. In a formal dancing atmosphere, of course. So I just felt so dorky. And this was before the word dorky was even invented. She takes me into this dancing school class, and we walk into the ballroom of the Knights of Columbus. It was a large, large ballroom. And I walked in, and I saw these other kids dressed just like me, wearing jackets and bow ties. And I thought, okay, either I'm not so dorky, or I have just entered the land of dorky. One or the other. Either way, not a good thing. I walk in there, and this very proper woman greets me, shakes my little glove-ridden hand, and says, well, it's a pleasure to have you here, Ronnie. And I thought, well, you can't hit ladies, so swallow it, Ron. And I sat down in this row of chairs, and on the opposite end of the dance floor was a row of chairs with young ladies seated there. Around 10, 11 years old, I was starting to feel my oats, so to speak. I was starting to have an attraction toward young girls of that same age. They were dressed in what we called ballroom gowns. They were fluffy petticoats, and they looked like they were going to get married. They had on white gloves, and it looked like all of them had showered. So that's how clean this place was. And the dancing instructor, a very proper woman who probably at the age of 50 had still not had sex. She was saving herself for marriage, which obviously would never occur for her. She was sexless. She had no sex. She was a woman by parts, but other than that, I don't know what she was. She stood in the middle of the ballroom floor and she said, "Now I want the boys to go over to the other side of the ballroom and ask a young lady to dance with him." And everybody got up from their chair but me. I said to myself, "I'm not going. This is no, I ain't doing this crap. No, sorry, this is enough for me." But eventually I was prodded to do it. I walked over to the other side. There was one girl left, and she sat there, and she was fairly attractive. I don't know why nobody else had picked her. It's because boys who are 10, 11 years old don't know how to pick. There are two things at that age that you know how to pick. One is members for a sporting event, like a baseball game. I'll pick you to be on my team, Bobby. And the other thing that 10-year-olds are really good picking at is their nose, and you know that. So I say to this girl, "Can I dance with you?" And she said, "Yes." And we walk onto the dance floor, and my white glove touched her white glove, and I think something moved down in my pants. It was for me, just two white gloved people touching was a sexual experience, and this was me growing up. This was me growing up. And we walked to the center of the dance floor, and we were instructed to grasp each other's white-gloved hands. This is like a Michael Jackson extravaganza. But you don't put your arm around her. She doesn't touch your shoulder or anything like that. It's all done by just hand touching. And we're learning the waltz, which means the waltz is a dance that really should be called "Don't You Freaking Touch Me." I think that's what the dance should really be called. Because you don't really... See, it's funny, when you get older, all the dances that you learned when you were younger, it's the same version, only now your bodies touch. And I actually started enjoying the ballroom dancing because it was my first real connection to holding young girls and women in a close proximity. That had never happened before to me in my life. I have no sisters. I really didn't really want to touch my mother all that much. This was my first, you can touch the girl with your hands kind of experience. And in the following weeks, Ron, learn your adjectives. I actually look forward to dancing school because I enjoyed being with these little girls and dancing with them. And yeah, I know you're waiting for the story to get perverted, but it doesn't. That's pretty much the end of it. It was my first introduction to girls and to dancing. Here's the funny part. I haven't reached the funny part yet, so don't laugh yet. As I said, when I got older, I became a wedding videographer for quite a number of decades, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was like being paid to go to a party and just stand there and videotape people. I mean, like, what's not to enjoy? It was the easiest way of making money, I think, imaginable. But I was always fascinated at weddings, at the reception, by the way people danced on the dance floor. And it always harkened back to my days when I was 10, 11 years old at this dancing school where we were taught you only touch women when you're dancing by the white of their gloves, and it's only hand to hand. And I always remarked whenever I did videotaped a wedding reception on how the dancing has changed. There's no more gloves, first of all. But the men and the women, usually in their 20s, are, man, there's a lot of touching going on. Of course, it's not a waltz anymore. It's other stuff. But there's grinding of asses. There's the up and down slinky motion of the woman upon a man's body, and women upon other women slinking up and down and rubbing their backs and their chests and their hips together in a grinding, sexually promiscuous manner right in front of their parents, who were seated three tables away eating the stuffed chicken. It's dancing has become a public display of physical zealousness, and I remark at it sometimes. And it's great that we have the freedom to just to rub on each other's body in a dancing manner in public in front of hundreds of people. I mean, it's nice. I guess we're all free to use our bodies in that sense. I mean, there's no sexual physical act taking place. It's just the sexual physical tease that's taking place. But it's remarkable. It's just remarkable. And men will grind with each other as well. And women will take their asses and grind up and down into a man's crotch. And this is somehow a dance. I don't know if you should call that dancing or foreplay. I think the DJ at a wedding should say, okay, now we're going to get all the couples on the dance floor, and let's have some sexual foreplay, and I'll just play some music in the background. Doesn't really matter what I play. You get up there and rub each other. Whether you know them or not, let's start rubbing our parts together. It's like, wow, this is dancing, huh? Changed since I was a kid. Well, that's my story.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
I thought it was interesting.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
That's nice. Here's my question to you. Some people consider going to a strip club to be a horrible thing, like cheating. But let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this question. And I know not what of I speak, by the way. I just like to ask questions. What's the difference between a lap dance and dancing on a dance floor at a wedding reception? What is the difference, I ask you? I don't think there is one. What happens at a lap dance? A dancer sits on your lap, usually a female upon a male lap, and grinds on it. She doesn't touch the lap with her hands. She doesn't go down to the groinal area hand-wise. She rubs herself in a sexual manner upon one's torso and one's lap. What is the difference between that and going to a wedding and getting on the dance floor and having your female partner or a female stranger take her hips or her legs and start rubbing up against your ass or your chest in a seductive dancing manner with the rhythm of the song? What's the difference? $20. That's the only difference. I'm just saying. I'm not here to save the world or to make life better for anybody, including myself. I'm not trying to bring people together or divide them. I'm just asking the questions that don't make any sense to me. The answers, they're not obvious. That's all I'm doing. I think that's innocent. Our guest is going to join us momentarily. And it's going to be wonderful. But first this.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hi, Ron. It's so nice to talk with you again.
You too. You're one of my favorite authors because the Love Your Age book has become my Bible, as I told you last time.
Yes, I wrote that down. I said, oh my God, he called it a Bible. I was so happy. Well, thank you so much.
It's true. I'm going to make sure that your book is in every hotel drawer. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. I love that.
All right.
Thank you.
May is National Osteoporosis Month. I guess everybody gets a month here, but osteoporosis is something that's quite common for when you age.
It is, and you know, we really don't think about our bones enough. We don't give our bones the attention that they deserve. And here's something really interesting, Ron, is that our bones are so dense and solid and strong when we're kids. We know that. Yeah. And then when we're in our 20s, we really reach our best bone health at that time, like in mid-20s, late-20s, they're most dense. Every year after that, they get weaker and thinner. Yeah. And that's just the natural part of aging.
Right.
But we really can do simple things to stop the progression of weakening bones. Osteoporosis is preventable, And I want everyone to know that. And I'm the Bone Health Ambassador for the National Osteoporosis Foundation. Oh. So this month, which, May is National Osteoporosis Month, We are trying to make people aware of all ages that they can do these simple things.
And what are some of the simple things that we can do? I know when I was a kid and I fell down, I bounced right back up. I don't bounce anymore.
I know. And you know what else you were doing when you were a kid, which we should all be doing even now, is jumping. We were jumping. We were running. We were doing jumping jacks and leapfrog. Remember all that?
Yes, I do.
And that's exactly what helped to keep our bones strong. And so one of the things that we can be doing, if you don't have osteoporosis, please, I want to point that out.
Right.
If you don't, you want to be at any age. You want to jump, run, that's weight-bearing, high impact. Jump rope, jumping jacks, and all of that. But if you do have osteoporosis, then something more low impact like the elliptical or gold standard, walking.
Yeah.
But you also need to do strength training and get enough calcium-rich foods, and also making sure you're taking vitamin D, at least 2,000 a day.
Oh.
So these are all simple, right? Nothing complicated. And here's something else, Ron. You know, my feeling is, and I say this throughout my book, Love Your Age, if we feel good, if we feel healthy and fit and feel good, we look good. You just do.
That's
true. Don't feel good, you just don't look as good. So it's like a wonderful byproduct. You know, sure, you can use the best new skin cream out there, but the truth is, if you're taking good care of yourself, if you're nourishing your body with the right foods, and if you're, working and moving your body in the right ways, you will feel good and you will look good. Simple steps.
Interesting. Can you bust a myth? Can you bust a myth for me? That sounded wrong somehow. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I love myth busting.
Myth. There you go. Thank you. I'm glad you said it. When I was young, my mother told me to drink milk because it has calcium and milk is good for strong bones. Then when I got older, it was don't drink milk because it's got sugar in it and it's too much dairy and all that. What's with the calcium thing? Does calcium equal bones?
That's a great question. And when we're younger, you're right, milk really is a great thing. But guess what? As you get older, your stomach really can't digest milk as well. I mean, this is true of the vast majority of us. So milk is not really the best option for us. There are so many other ways to get your calcium. And by the way, the National Osteoporosis Foundation always says, get your calcium from food first. And if for some reason, if you have some strange health thing going on where you can, then you can supplement. But you can get your calcium from food. We need about 1,200 mg a day. And you can get it from broccoli, from certain fish, from kale, from yogurt. You know, you don't have to drink milk. So that's really important to note. So I personally, I steer clear of dairy now, except for a little cream in my coffee.
And that's
that
fine.
I still have.
Yeah, everything in a small amount, except for drugs, is a wonderful thing.
Correct, everything in moderation.
Yeah, I want to get back to the thesis of your book, Love Your Age, for just a second, because you said something just now that is absolutely true. It's life is perception. It's how you feel. It's how you look. When someone says to you, "Hey, you look really good today." That's the whole day for me. It's like, wow. And then all of a sudden I'm happy and I actually feel better. A lot of it's psychosomatic and such and psychological.
Oh, yeah. No, this is true. Yeah. I have a whole chapter devoted to happiness and things that scientifically backed. And this happens to be one of them. And guess what else happens? It's like a chain reaction. If someone compliments you, you will be walking straighter.
Yes.
You'll be smiling more.
Yes.
But guess what? You will also compliment somebody else. You'll be much more inclined to compliment somebody else and make that person's day. And it's like a chain reaction of happiness, and it is a form of happiness. It's a form of well-being, and that all contributes to your overall health and well-being. There's no question about it.
And
guess what? This is why I subtitled my book, The Small Step Solution to a Better, Longer, Happier Life, because these are all small steps that anybody can take. That was not a big effort, was it, to compliment somebody on their dress.
Right.
Their hair.
Right.
Not at all. But, it's a big impact.
It is. I think the brain can actually affect the physical body. And when you are happy and healthy in the head, I think it actually can change your metaphysics somehow. I don't know if that's...
Yes, and there's one more thing, too. Yeah. It's also a feeling that if you feel out of control, like you can't control anything, that can really be quite detrimental. Yeah. So one of my favorite mantras, which I say all the time, is we can't control getting older, but we can control how we do it. And it's true. Every day is a series of choices that we make about our own health and well-being, what we eat, what we don't eat, if we move our bodies, if we don't, you name it. And these are choices that we make, and they are under our control. And the vast majority, including osteoporosis, vast majority of diseases and health issues are preventable.
Very good.
Are preventable.
Well, that's good to hear, certainly. We're running out of time. I can always talk to you for hours, but I'm not allowed to by law. All right, the book is...
Ron, it's always so much fun to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Love Your Age is the book. Everybody, you should get one. And give me a website where we can keep in touch with what's going on.
Okay, and all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, but also www.BarbaraHannah.Grufferman as it sounds, .com.
Perfect. Perfect. Happy Osteoporosis Month to you.
And to you too, Ron. Thank you.
Right.
Stay strong.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And happy Osteoporosis Month to you too. Did you get the gift that I sent you in the mail? It's a withered bone. It's not funny, Ron. That's really not funny. But seriously, happy Osteoporosis Month. You don't see a lot of those cards at Hallmark, do you? Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.